This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
It is a tradition in our adult Sunday school class that each year, at some point just before Christmas, we set aside our normal study and have a shorter, more devotional study while we feast on a selection of Linda's breads, her sweet breads, chocolate zucchini, cranberry, banana nut. Well, this year, since Christmas fell on Sunday, and we did not have class at all, we decided to do it this year on the 1st of January. So while not a part of our normal study, I have included this, the notes for this devotional study and the audio, entitled Looking Back. The habit of many on the occasion of a new year is to forget the past and look forward into the bright promises of the days ahead. But God's Word gives us two reasons for instead taking the opportunity of a new year to look backward, which we will consider in this brief devotional study. The first reason to look backward at the beginning of each new year is to determine what to throw out. It was time, some time ago, to clean out, rearrange, reallocate, and reorganize my library shelves. World history required more room, and war history needed to be moved. A few political biographies had been erroneously shelved in American history, and my immediate and most often used reference books needed to be moved across the room. Meanwhile, a large number of books needed to be summarily discarded, a painful, admittedly, but necessary task. These included such noteworthy titles as the 1939 Business Executives Handbook and California, Oregon, and Washington Country Inns, Lodges, and Historic Hotels, 1988. Advanced Golf, 1908. A game that I do not participate in. Caesar's Gallic War, unfortunately in Latin. Social Policies for America in the 70s, 9 Divergent Views, published in 1968. And finally, in German, Mathematische Stromungslehre, 1928. I have no interest in the German language, I have no interest in mathematics. So all of these books, and others of course, were summarily discarded, with two boxes of dust-laden books removed from the shelves and ready for delivery to the local landfill, with titles reordered and better organized, with shelves freshly vacuumed and polished and space now allocated for new arrivals, with the chaff removed and the remaining wheat neatly organized, I was ready for a new year. And then it dawned on me that the same process needed to be applied not just to the library, to the room in which I work, but to my life in general. What in my life is cluttering up the place and is no longer needed? What is there that has been misplaced and should be moved? And what is there that should be allocated more room? And finally, what is there that should be summarily removed to the county landfill? In the life of a Christian, this necessary but painful process is far more than a seasonal sprucing up, cleaning up. It is not ultimately even for us. It is for the holiness of God's name. As the Lord told Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Just as Israel was the testimony of Yahweh to the world at that time, Christians today are the testimony of Christ to the world in which we live, and God is jealous that his name be represented in purity and holiness. So Ezekiel 36 continues in verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so that you will be my people, and I will be your God. While everyone else around this time of year vows to lose weight, go jogging every morning, make more money, finally whip that storage closet into shape, or just be a better person in general, the Christian should be taking stock of his or her spiritual life, which is, in fact, the entirety of the believer's life. For those in Christ, their spiritual life is their life, and their life is spiritual. There is no bright line demarcating the spiritual from the temporal for followers of Christ. We are now spiritual beings. Our relationship with God through Christ by means of the Holy Spirit is a 24/7, minute-by-minute thing that does not cease on Sunday morning when the preacher closes with his Amen. And of course, we need not wait for the calendar page to turn from December to January. We need not wait for a new year to take stock of the condition of our part of this relationship. There is never a bad time to winnow the chaff from our life. There are books on my shelves that were acquired decades ago, for reasons since lost in the fog of time, that are now an ill fit. Perhaps they represent philosophies that were at home in my more rebellious youth. Perhaps they contain thoughts and positions that I rejected or grew out of years ago. Old books can be like rediscovered love notes from old girlfriends. Once they were precious, but now only embarrassing, and harmful to one's marital well-being. Just so the thoughts and philosophies that were once populating the shelves of our minds. We long ago forgot about them, but on odd occasions they reveal themselves, pushing belligerently to the front of our thoughts. Through disuse, we thought we were rid of them, but had never really packaged them up and removed them to the county dump. instead of these old but still harmful interests. We are to be satisfied with the things of a holy Lord. Look at Psalm 65, and let's begin with verse 2. Address to Yahweh. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. These obsolete philosophies now have no place in a life containing Jesus. They are more than a distraction. They carry the seed of cancer, the germ of corruption. No matter the calendar page, it is always a good time to root out and discard anything that might entice us off the righteous path. And when we do, we make new room for that which builds up and sustains what we truly are now. When we throw out the old and bad, we make more room for the new and good. Now, the second reason to look back instead of look forward is to decide what to keep. We've thrown out what should not be kept. Now, we need to decide what to keep. It occurred to me some time ago that in a more logical world, the first day of the year would come around March 15 or maybe April 1st. New Year's Day, that special day combining nostalgic retrospection for the year just ended with eager anticipation for the year just beginning, seems wasted on a day still mired, at least in my part of the world, in cold air, gray skies, and a frozen landscape. How much better it would be if the new year began on a fresh, sunshine-filled day of spring flowers, bursting forth to bring new life, new color to a gray world. On the other hand, perhaps it is appropriate, after all, that New Year's Day comes January 1, during the time of gray sky melancholy and introspection. For again, in many ways, our time on this path is better spent remembering the days past than anticipating those days to come. Our journey upward into Christ-likeness is to be more a study of recent history and current events than a planning session for the future. Jesus told us this in his Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at just one verse there, Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus speaking to his disciples and to those also there from his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Meanwhile, the psalmist David wrote that when we are in dire straits, we can find solace in remembering what God has done for us in the past. We find this in Psalm 143, beginning with verse 3. David writes, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me." And here's what he does. Here's what David does to get himself out of the doldrums, to get himself out of this darkness. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Selah. Certainly the Christian is encouraged to spend happy hours contemplating his or her assured hope of an eternity with God. Yes. The rock-solid promise of eternal life in heaven is surely one of Christendom's most precious benefits. But as believers approach one more year of living on this muddy plain, their focus should be less on what will occur tomorrow than on what transpired yesterday. All of life is a classroom for those who have placed their trust in Christ Jesus. If we forge ahead into a new year without first examining the lessons learned in the previous, we run the risk of being called into the principal's office for a dose of applied psychology. The believer should not lightly regard what the Lord has done for him during the preceding year. The point in time when the old wall calendar is replaced with the new is the perfect moment to ask, what has the Lord done for me this last year? How has He amazed me? And what have I learned from Him? What prayers did He answer? And how did He answer them? How did He solve my moments of confusion with wise, timely counsel? How did He prevent me from doing what I shouldn't? Or how quickly did He forgive me when I did? How often did I experience the calming, healing balm of the Spirit? What did He do that took my breath away and left me filled with His praise? Every day, in ways both subtle and profound, God works in the Christian's life. Sometimes His hand is dynamic and strong, like the piercing arc of lightning and the thundering percussion of a storm. We're left gasping from the impact, stunned by His power, grateful that anyone of His supernatural might is on our side. At other times, His hand is gentle and soft, like the butterfly touch of a mother caressing the cheek of her infant child. Often His touch is so delicate that we're not even aware that He is at work. We think He's busy elsewhere, with someone else's problems, when all the time He's only a breath away from ours. Before the believer moves into the new year, he must also take stock of his own behavior in the previous. Not to bathe himself in the agonies of abasement, not to occupy days on end under the self-wielded lash of castigation, but to use the painful self-examination as one more launch pad of praise to God for His mercy and grace. Christians are a people most blessed. They have intimate, first-hand knowledge of God's long-suffering and forgiveness. Sadly, however, for one who requires mercy so often, it can become something common. The oft-forgiven believer can become inured to mercy's costly value. So the individual must pause to revive his perspective on God's mercy. He must elevate his view of the daily graces that keep his head above the muck of sin. The point is not to fondle and caress our old transgressions, but to remind ourselves that they were once there, that we erred, but God quickly forgave and restored us. More than that, the point is to review the lessons learned from our mistakes, in both triumph and failure, but most often in failure. God teaches us valuable life lessons that become stair steps to sanctification. More than the dark act itself, it is the lesson drawn from our sin, along with the resulting forgiveness, that leads us ever upward into Christ-likeness. It is the review and appreciation of these lessons that causes our next year to be an improvement over the last. We should mark the first day of every new year with the words of Joshua to Israel, before they cross the Jordan into the promised land. This is what Joshua said in Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Permit me to close with a verse by Johann Andreas Ross. "Now I have found the ground wherein sure my soul's anchor may remain. The wounds of Jesus for my sin, before the world's foundation slain, whose mercy shall unshaken stay when heaven and earth are fled away. Father, thine everlasting grace our scanty thoughts surpasses far. Thy heart still melts with tenderness. Thy arms of love still open are, returning sinners to receive that mercy they may taste and live. O love, thou bottomless abyss, my sins are swallowed up in thee. Covered is my unrighteousness, nor spot of guilt remains of me, while Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy free, boundless mercy cries. Though waves and storms go o'er my head, though strength and health and friends be gone, though joys be withered all and dead, though every comfort be withdrawn, on this my steadfast soul relies. Father, thy mercy never dies."
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2016 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible Studies section of our website at dlample.com. Unless otherwise indicated, Scripture is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lockman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. All resources, both at our devotional site, dlample.com, and our His Company Christian Drama site, hc.dlample.com, are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.